Well, good morning and welcome to Squim Community Church. It's so good to worship with you today. My name is Tracy, and I get the privilege of worshiping with you while your worship leader is out on maternity leave. So we celebrate that, a new life coming into the world. We're going to do a new song today. The Bible reminds us in Exodus 14:14 that the Lord will fight for us if we be still and know that he is God and trust in him. This is all about just leaning on him, knowing that he will get us through and giving him our burdens. So this is called Battle Belongs. The chorus goes like this, so you can learn it. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. That's it, you got it? We invite you to stand up and worship with us and sing.
And almighty fortress, you go before.
Hallelujah. He is worthy to be praised. Amen. The giver of life. He breathes every breath into us. And we just thank you, Father.
You give life. You are love. You bring life to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every
praise more than you, Lord. We thank you. Song. sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save, yeah. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside.
No one like you. There
we thank you. Thank you.
Lord God, you are an almighty God. You are the creator of all things. You esteemed us in all of creation by creating us in your image. And that image gives us a desire, a need to connect with you. And it does fall along the lines of your plan for us. You created us so that we could be in relationship with you. And we yearn for that. We need that. It's a relationship that is beyond our expectation because of who you are. And as we come to show devotion, to worship you, we realize that we've not already arrived. But we've engaged and we're leaning into the process of sanctification, that you're transforming us from the inside out. And more we enjoy you, more and more we take in your truth. Those cause us to examine ourselves. That enables us to see practically where we've missed your glorious ideal, where we've faltered and failed in sin. And the great thing about you, God, is that as we offer our sin to you, you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You forgive and you forget. And that frees us up. It causes us to cut loose of the past, of what holds us back and holds us down in life. As we gather, we want to pray for others. We want to pray for those that their picture comes to mind, to our mind. Lord, we want to give these people, these circumstances to you. And we know that sometimes the answer is simple and other times it's just supernatural. It's beyond what we could think or imagine. Lord, you know what they need. You know how to address that need in each and every one. We pray for our local leaders, our national leaders. We pray for the leaders in the world. We ask, Lord, that you would give them wisdom and discernment as they make decisions, as they lead others. Our desire today is to lift our worship up to you. Lord, come down and be present with us. Help us to feel your power and your peace, that our time of worship would give glory and honor to you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So if a person's wearing a mask, they probably want you to social distance from them. But if you don't have a mask on, you might say hello to one another, greet one another, find somebody you're not sure you've ever met before because you've only seen them from the eyes up. So it is good to see all of you. Also, those of you that are on live stream, I'd encourage you to join the chat right now. And if you log in, then you can be a part of the conversation that's taking place virtually while we're teaching and praying here up front. I have a few announcements for you. The big one for you for you all to hear. I don't want you to miss it. Next Sunday, we're going to be back over in the sanctuary. There's a little bit to be done, and my understanding is that's going to be addressed in the first 3 days of the new work week, and we'll be over there. The idea is that we'll throw on the 20th, we will throw a little celebration in the 10 o'clock service for God's faithfulness to us, and I'll celebrate your faithfulness to Him because you've contributed to the Refresh God's House Fund. And I don't know where we are in terms of the amount of money, but if you haven't added in yet, please do that. Everybody's gift is irreplaceable. It's only a gift that you can give. And I know God rewards us when we want to honor Him with our time, talent, treasure, and touch. So take the opportunity. We are going to do baptisms on June 27th. That means there'll be baptisms here on the platform as well as down at Jamestown Beach. If you want to be baptized and you haven't been, then there's an orientation class for adults. Rick will lead that. It's on June 17th at 5:30. If you're intending to be baptized and you can't make that time, contact Rick Dietzman, and he will he'll work out a time with you. If you want to email Rick, and I've got another thing that you can email him for, it's rick@squimcommunitychurch.org. And those automatically go to Rick's computer. We're also forming summer rooted groups. I believe that one of the reasons we've made it through COVID as well as we have is because we were doing rooted right up to the moment of COVID starting and our separation from one another in terms of gathering. And I really believe our small group ministry, the rooted ministry, that connected people, and we've needed connection like we've probably never needed connection before in the last year and a half, and we've come out of that really in a great place as a church. So if you weren't a part of Rooted, we want to get you engaged in the Rooted experience, and if you're interested in that, and groups will be meeting on different days, etc., just email Rick and tell him that you would like to be a part of a summer rooted group, and give him your information, your name, your email address, your phone number, and he will call you and find out what the best days and times are for you. And then we're going to group everybody together and have a great rooted experience again. Rick is everywhere today, not only in the announcement, but he's also reading our scripture passage for us.
We're going to be reading 1 Peter 2, 21-25. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls.
So today we're finishing up our internal journey that we've been taking. And we've looked at our spiritual need. We've looked at how, through the Holy Spirit, God addresses that need. We've looked at some of the practical implications of what it means to be a child of God. Remember, we asked Jesus to be the leader of our life, and there is a moment there, even if you were raised in a Christian home, there seems to be this moment where you affirm that personally. Then we're a part of the sanctification process. The Holy Spirit is not out there. Now the Holy Spirit is in here. and he's transforming us from the inside out. And we looked at some of those transformational characteristics, what it means to forgive others, to reconcile with others, to love our enemies, to have a real heart and mind and soul for God, thirst for him and his righteousness. Today, I want to kind of wrap a bow around the whole thing. I believe our scripture passage tells us, how do we keep this going? How do we keep leaning in and cooperating with the Holy Spirit in the sanctification process? Here's how Peter put it. For God called you to do good. Christ, he is your example, and you must follow in his steps. Our sanctification process, God's call to us in our life, his plan for us follows in the steps of Jesus. So how do we keep it going? I propose this. I propose that you make a decision that you're going to meet with God every day, that you will reserve a daily time, a good place, a good time, to read your Bible, to exact self-examination on yourself, to pray so that you can know God and you can know God's will, and you're properly positioned so that you can receive the divine power that you'll need to carry out God's will and God's way in your life. That keeps us in his steps. That enables the Holy Spirit to continue the transformation process, the sanctification process in our life. This is how John spoke to this opportunity. He said, "Watch out that you do not lose what you've already worked for, but that you may be fully rewarded." Now, there are two rewards in asking Jesus to be the leader of your life. One reward is eternity, but the other reward is that you know the path that God wants you to take, and that's the best path for your life, for my life. God fashions a life just for us, a path just for us, even though we share things corporately as well. We don't want to miss out on the present reward. That's what happens when you wait till you have what is known as a deathbed conversion. And I've had people tell me, well, when I get there at the end, God's got to take me if I ask him to be the leader of my life and I'll get to spend eternity, right? Yes, but why wait? There's a blessing in this day in knowing Jesus Christ. There's a divine resource at our request. And I believe that we miss out on a lot of reward if we wait and put off our decision to have Jesus be the leader of our life. 2 Peter 3:18, continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to continue to grow. Here at SCC, our aspiration is to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And we take that very seriously. We have small groups and Bible studies and opportunities so that people can continue to grow in understanding God's will and practicing God's will in one's life. Continue to grow. How do we continue to grow? How do we keep this sanctification process and leaning into it, being engaged in it? How do we do that best? Well, I think it's all about choices. Making good spiritual choices. And I think the first and foremost one we have to do is we have to choose a good place and a good time to meet with God. On a daily basis. Let's go back to kind of our target goal aspiration for the day. Is do we want to know God better? Do we want to know His truth better? Do we want to make our way in sanctification, understanding that we're going to need divine power to do that? Because we cannot carry out God's will under our own human will volition. By definition, it will take the power of God to do it. How do we do that? Pick a good time and a good place that you're going to meet with God, where you're going to read and you're going to pray and you're going to do self-examination. I think in our meeting with God, we aspire to do a couple of different things. Number one, and this is a big one, we want to worship God or show our devotion to God. God is worthy of our devotion, the Bible says, and we know that to be true in our own heart. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Well, God should be the number one priority in our time. And we show that God is important to us. We show our devotion to God by having a good place and a good time to meet with Him every day. Why? Because He's worthy of our devotion. A second reason is we need direction. At least I need direction. I need direction in this complex and difficult world that we live in, especially the time that we're in right now has been very, very challenging. We need direction, and we seek that from God. We need to consider our way. What direction is God calling us to move in our life? David prays a great prayer here. Lord, show me the right path. Point out the road for me to follow. I need to know the road that God wants me to follow, the path that I'm supposed to make progress in. And so we ask God, Lord, in a larger sense, Lord, help us to consider where You're calling us, what You want us to do. The other thing we need to do, wait, let me give you one more verse. Proverbs 3:6. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Seek His will in all of your life. Every day in your life, every moment in your life. That's how we consider our way. But we also have to commit our day. Lord, go with me today in all that I have going on. And help me to be sensitive to Your inner prompting as I go throughout my day. That's how we commit our day, to keep Him first and foremost. Psalm 37:5. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him to help you do it, and He will. Now, I think you're probably like me. We're rolling along when life is easy, but when life gets tough, what do? Lord, help me. And you know what? He does. We worship a lavish blessing God, not a stingy God. He's a God that has the very best for us. John 10:10. He wants us to have a full life. And John 3:16, He wants us to spend eternity with Him. The challenge in life is the day-to-day commitment. Especially when that day-to-day commitment is in the midst of calamity or tragedy or difficulty, problems, failures. God meets us in the moment, and He's a big enough God that He can deal with all of the things that go on in our lives, in my life. And my goal is to make sure I kind of grab a hold of Him, so to speak, and hang on to Him through all the things that go on in a specific day. I believe that we all do better when we take God with us. Why? Because we have the power that we need. We have the, the peace that we need because we understand that our lives are in the hand of God. And yeah, I'm like you, man. When trouble and tragedy comes, I'm feeling around. Am I still, God, do you still have me? Am I still in your hands? And he always helps me through his presence realize that, yes, he's there. And it's through his power that we find the ability to deal with the tragedy and difficulty and just the clamor and the confusion of life. Yeah, God's good that way. We also want to delight in God. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desire. Now, really what David is saying here is that when God already has a heart for you, the only question is, do you have a heart for him? And one of the ways that you'll know that you have a heart for God is you will delight in the Lord. You will look at your good time and your good place not as an obligation, but you'll look at it as an opportunity, a great opportunity. And for us to keep leaning into the sanctification process, then we need to find our joy in the Lord, and that's hard to find when there's not a lot to celebrate. Yet God gives us an ability to see his work, his direction, even in the midst of difficulty and problems. And so I hope it's a delight for you to come to worship. Why? Because in our devotion, we can be joyous to God. We can be thankful to God. We can hear from God. And when we delight in him, it's way easier for him to speak to us and bless us and move us along in the process of sanctification. We also need to work on our Christ-likeness. Develop it. Walking in the steps of Jesus, continuing to grow, that's growing in our Christ-likeness. 2 Peter now, we're back to the first chapter, verse 3. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We received it all. We received all of this by coming to know him. Coming to know Jesus better gives us more blessing than power. And that enables the Holy Spirit to bring about transformation in our lives from the inside out. A big part of that to me is self-examination. And you could have learned this from several different people. I learned it from Dale Carnegie, but I also read it in a book authored by Zig Ziglar. And Stephen Covey even got on this about a decade ago. Examine your life at night. What went well throughout the day? What went poorly? What changes would I need to make if I were to run into that same negative circumstance again? What would I say differently? What would I do differently? One thing I want to encourage you to do is when you're adding up the pluses and you're adding up the minuses, and you're taking charge of looking at how you need to change in the coming day. Don't get stuck on the negative. What I want to say to you is confess it and go. Don't confess it and settle in on that. It's so easy for us to focus on the negative. No, that's why God forgives us. He wants to free us from our guilt and shame. And so confess that you didn't say the right thing or you said the wrong thing, you didn't do something right or you did something and it was wrong. Confess it and get ready for the next day. Confess it and get ready for the next day. What went well? What didn't go so well? What changes would I make? Will I make tomorrow? Especially in that same circumstance or setting where we felt it ended up being a negative and not a positive. One more important thing, and that is, as you make your way through life, focus on the goal of Christ-likeness, not the habit. And here, what I mean by habit is the negative habit. What we often have a tendency to do is we focus on the negative. We say what's wrong, what's bad, the mistakes that we made, our hurts, our faults, our failures. And we do run that as kind of a closed loop tape in our minds, don't we? And the good thing about examination is you can offload that negative stuff. Lord, I don't know why this happened to me, but I know you have a reason. I know that my sin has not taken me out of your will. But in my confession and correction, I get back on that path in a true sense of leaning in to my sanctification. When you think about negative things all the time, then you're reinforcing the negative. And see, there's this dynamic of attention. What are you giving your attention to? Are you giving your attention to the positive transformation that's taking place in your life through the Holy Spirit? Or are you stuck with what you didn't do right in the past or yesterday? And all we're doing, if we continue to focus on the negative, is make the negative more important than it should be. And so we confess it. We even say, even in our confession, Lord, we don't get it. And you might let us get it, but we might not get it till we die and go to heaven. There's lots of things we won't know until we arrive. I have my list. Maybe you do. You want to pull Jesus right over next to me and have a conversation with him. And here's what I think about that. Either Jesus will do that when I get there, or this is probably the way it will really go. It won't matter to me anymore. I'll be in the glory of the Lord, and all those unanswered questions will just, it just won't matter anymore. Reinforce the positive. Give attention to the positive, not the negative. Let's close with this. Philippians 3:12. I do not mean that I am already as God wants me to be. I have not yet reached that goal, but I continue trying to reach it and to make it mine. See, that is our prayer as we come to the table. Our prayer is, Lord, keep moving us forward. We don't come to this table and say, hey, we got it all together. In fact, by definition, the sanctification process means you have not yet arrived. If you're alive, you have not yet arrived. Because to arrive means to leave this world and resurrect and be with God in eternity. Jesus came so that we could be better. Jesus came to save us. Jesus came to lead us each and every day. We know that Jesus was human because he died a human death. We know that Jesus was divine because he resurrected. What he did for us upon the cross is just what we need to get from today to tomorrow, but also to get from where we are now to eternity. On that night with the disciples, Jesus took the bread. He gave thanks for it. Then he said, this is my body that I give to you. And each one took the bread. And here at SCC, I'd encourage you to take the bread individually, because all of us must call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Take and eat, Jesus said. And after everyone had taken the bread, Jesus lifted the cup and he said, "This is my very blood, which I will shed for you." And the disciples didn't completely understand it. But Jesus understood all of it. He knew he would be the sacrifice. He would give his life so that we could have life. And in taking the bread individually, we realize that, yes, it's our individual relationship with God that starts the whole process. And sharing the cup together reminds us that we're all in this together. That truly to reap the harvest of the blessing that God has in store for us, to make our way leaning into sanctification, getting on that path and making progress on that path. Man, we can't do that on our own. And we need other people. Jesus gave his life so that we can have life. We can have life to the full now, and we can have eternal life with him for everlasting and everlasting. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful that you're a giving God, that you paid the price for our sins because we could never pay for them. We're thankful that you gave your life so that we can have life. That in your resurrection, the Holy Spirit has been released. And now in our confession of faith, that now the Holy Spirit lives within us. Lord, allow us to cooperate with the yielding and submission that we need to have for you to continue that transformation from the inside out in us. And Lord, I'm thankful that you never give up on us, that we are the object of your affection, the reason you came to this planet, and our hope for the future. Thank you, Jesus. And we pray in your name. Amen. I've been quoting the two great commandments for a reason. If you want to keep it going, love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. If you want to stay on that path that God has in store for you, there's some other people going right next to you. With God's divine power, you will be able to love your neighbor as you want to be loved. Amen.